Hi, I'm Terry Griffith. I'm here with my co-host, Dee Boggetti, and we're Bark Radio.
Hey, Terry, we have a guest on the line today, someone you met recently, yes?
Yes, it's John Dunn from Best Friends Animal Society.
And they are way out in...
Kanab, Utah.
Wowzer.
I met him out at the No More Homeless Pets Conference, and we connected there at one of the social events there.
Well, this is very cool. Why don't you introduce our guest?
Well, John, welcome.
Good morning, you guys. How are you?
Doing well, man.
What does John do for Best Friends?
Well, John is their social media guru, so he does a lot of the Twitter, Facebook. I don't know what else you do besides that. I know you do those two. What, tell us about it, John.
Well, yeah, and Terry, that's how we sort of met, or I know of you guys and Bark Radio, is because we are mutual followers on Twitter, and you guys are very great about retweeting some of our stuff. I know for people that aren't on Twitter, that probably sounds like a foreign language, but we can explain that a little bit maybe. But yeah, I mean, it's almost 2 years. It would be 2 years in March. I was here at Best Friends working actually in the campaigns department in our outreach work. And like a lot of organizations, Best Friends said, wait a minute, you know, there's all these social media tools out there and a lot of organizations are using them and being very successful with them. You know, we really should be there. And so they sort of like the bosses looked around and they said, well, who can we have do it? And they said, well, John Dunn already wastes all of his day messing around on Facebook. So let's just make it his job. So that's kind of how it started. And like a lot of organizations, because we weren't there, we had a lot of our supporters already in the social media space sort of on our behalf, but we really had no official, profiles or anything on any of the sites, so it was all really started from the ground up, and, I'm not an internet marketing guy by training or by history. I mean, I just, again, was just a casual user of Facebook, and at that time just really sort of started to learn about Twitter. I mean, it was really new at that point as well. I'd been on MySpace, but like a lot of people was getting really tired of MySpace. So, I went out and I just learned, and I got on the internet itself and Googled and found a lot of people talking about the best way for nonprofits to use social media, and so we started a Facebook fan page. I in fact got in touch with a volunteer who'd been running a really great MySpace page on our behalf and said, hey, thanks for doing this. Do you mind if we sort of take it over? And she said, no, not at all. I was just doing it because you guys weren't here. So I'm more than happy to let you guys take it. And she'd already built up a couple of thousand friends on MySpace. We also use YouTube pretty heavily here at Best Friends. If people are aware of our work, they know that we do a lot of video. And I think video really is probably the best way to tell the story of any nonprofit work, especially animals. I mean, who doesn't like a video of kittens or puppies? And, we also use change.org as another place that we have a presence as well. And it's been really great. I mean, the response has been excellent. I think the fact that we are Best Friends and we're a larger organization has made my job easier. The fact that Best Friends is really good about telling the story. Again, if people are aware of our work, not just video, but we have a great magazine. We take really great photos here. So all I've been able to do is just take all the great content that we already have, put it in the online space, and we've been really successful.
Cool. Excellent. Well, in case there's anybody listening, which I doubt, that doesn't know who Best Friends is, why don't you just do a real brief overview in what you guys are doing there in Utah?
Sure. We're in Kanab, Utah, which is southern Utah. We're about the sanctuary itself is about 10 miles from the Arizona border, right smack in the middle of Utah. It is could almost not be more remote in some ways. For people that have been here, it is a very small town. Kane County itself, which is a very large county in Utah, is only about 4,000 people. So we are the largest employer in Kane County.
Wow.
And again, you think, like, why would you build a great sanctuary like that there? But I think when people have come here and they come and see where it is, I think they really quickly understand we're in beautiful Red Rock country in southern Utah. I'm looking out of my office window right now. I can see the white cliffs of the Grand Staircase National Monument. I mean, it is a beautiful place. It is a very spiritual place, for lack of a better word. And in fact, in some ways, I think that maybe Best Friends wouldn't be as successful as it is if it were in a suburb of Richmond, Virginia or something. You know what I mean? It's
right.
There's just something special about this place. But 25 years ago, a group of friends, it was about 25 people, and we call them the founders, came together and said, look, we've got to do more to start saving animals. One of the founders drove through this area, found what now is sort of made up of our what we call Lower Canyon, where our Welcome Center is located, for sale. They went out and did like a lot of groups do today. They tabled, they begged in front of grocery stores, told people about what they were trying to do, were able to raise enough money to buy that land at that time. And since then, this place has just had amazing growth. We currently have probably about 1,700 or 1,800 animals on site here on our 3,000 acres. It's actually 33,000 acres, but the sanctuary itself is 3,000. Then we lease 30,000 from the BLM that acts as a buffer to the sanctuary. We have dogs and cats. Obviously, those are our two biggest population of animals. Then we also have bunnies and birds and horses, and we have some farm animals. We have potbelly pig department. We have a nationally accredited wildlife rehabilitation program. I'm missing something, and I'm going to get in trouble. No, I think that's it. I think that's it. It's again, it's a really, truly amazing place. And as we were just talking before we started the recording here, that like a lot of people, it's just hard not to want to be a part of this. It is really an amazing thing. Our focus is obviously not only animals at the sanctuary, but fixing the problem. I mean, you cannot build a sanctuary big enough for the homeless pet problem in this country. And our mission is achieving a world with no more homeless pets.
Yeah, and that's a phenomenal ambition. I know that when I was at the conference in Vegas, I mean, there was so much going on, and I came back just almost overwhelmed because there's so much information, so many things to work on, and so much to do. And you know, thank you guys for putting this out there and bringing all those people together and sharing this, because you guys provide such resources. The knowledge base by itself is phenomenal, and I know that you've also gotten a network environment set up to help rescue groups too.
Yeah, I mean, one of the things, Terry, that I think has really, it's not that it separates best friends. We're not trying to be whatever. I mean, we're just trying to fix the problem, I think. But what really has made best friends different is really the belief in the grassroots, the belief in the local groups across the country really working hard day in, day out, 7 days a week, rescuing animals, doing adoption events, doing spay-neuter, doing all the things that are really it's going to take all of those people and more to really fix that problem. Best friends alone can't do it, nor can a small group in a large city do it by themselves. So really building coalitions and trying to bring people together and say, look, if we all get on the same page here, we can really fix this problem. And the Best Friends Network, as you mentioned, you can actually find it at network.bestfriends.org. That's really what it is. It's connecting people to save lives. And we actually just launched a new thing that I really want to tell the listeners about, called the Network Charities Program. So if you're with a group, you're with a rescue group, or maybe you volunteer with a rescue group, you need to let your rescue group know about this, because it's a really great program where, especially for the small groups, but in large groups, it works for you guys as well, that, maybe you don't have the resources or the time or the know-how to create a whole website with, the forums and blogs and some of the things that, you see on other sites. And the network really, this Network Charities Program will allow you to do that. So there's an application process. We just want to make sure, you're a 501c3 in good standing. And then you can be a part of this and get your sort of homepage on the network. And then we're also doing a promotion right now, which is 25,000 in 25 days, where we've just launched this Network Charities Program. We're trying to raise this money for these local groups. Best Friends is sort of acting as a go-between. It's all above board. It took a long time to get it cleared, but we're good to go. So we'll actually be able to raise money, using our framework, using our supporter base to say, hey, look, support your local groups. And then, of course, the local groups can reach out to their base and say, hey, you can donate now through the Best Friends website to our programs.
That's phenomenal.
It is. And, John, could you give folks that web address one more time? We want to really encourage these small groups to, join this.
Sure thing. It's network.bestfriends.org, network.bestfriends.org. You could, if you forget the network part, just go to bestfriends.org and you'll find a link there on the left sidebar in the navigation to the network. And I think you guys have a website. Maybe we can make sure the URL is there as well.
Right. When we post this up, we'll make sure that we get
links back to Best Friends.
Great.
So I guess kind of going down the same path, I mean, for the small and medium-sized rescue groups that are out there who aren't really utilizing social media, you guys are doing it well. You know, you're certainly on top of it. And what kind of tips or tricks or recommendations would you give to those groups?
Honestly, Terry, I think the biggest thing to really point out is that all of these things, whether it's the network, you know, where you're going to use our network charities program, or you're thinking about Facebook or Twitter, the big thing is it's free. You know, you don't have to, there is a cost involved, obviously. There's going to be a time cost. But, you know, when I did my presentation at the conference this year, you know, I just pointed out some of the simple facts about Facebook. Just take Facebook, for example. Now 325 million monthly active users. So that means over a rolling month average, people that have logged in, 325 million people. You know, you just can't ignore numbers like that. The ability to reach out and the tools built within Facebook, you know, allow even the smallest group to really engage with people in their community that care about their cause and help and, you know, engage them to help you make a difference. You know, and again, it's just one of those things about the web today. To have a really good website, I'm also on the board for another organization that is much, much smaller than Best Friends, and we're trying to put together a website. And the costs of a website, you know, a really good one like you'd really want, are shocking. You know, it's very difficult sometimes for small groups to allot those resources when those resources are, you know, they want them and they should be spent on spay, neuter, and those kind of things. But you can't forget, you also need to be telling people about the things that you're doing, because the donations and the support are how you get those things done. So looking at sites like Facebook, I just think it's really, you know, and another thing that I said in the thing too, I mean, a lot of people say, well, I'm old. I don't know anything about Facebook. And I don't have the time, and I don't know anything about it, and I know my kids are on it. That's great. Engage your kids. You know, tell them, hey, you know, we would love your help with this project, and, you know, just get us on Facebook. And, you know, there's supporters. I guarantee you have volunteers, and they may not even be of the younger set. There are an awful lot of older, quote-unquote, people now on Facebook. The fastest-growing demographic on Facebook for the last probably 18 months has been women over the age of 45. So it's not about, you know, the college-age kids anymore. But again, you know, just think creatively about how you can have someone else take this for you, because it's just it just is too big of an opportunity, I think, to miss.
I know we totally agree with you, and I believe heavily in blogs too. Because of the same thing, they're free. And if you're a creative writer, if you have the time to feed them, then, you know, it's just entwining all of the pieces, the blogs and the websites, Facebook, Twitter, pushing things here, there, and everywhere to get your message out in all kinds of different ways. And it's really powerful.
It is.
Oh, absolutely. And we were talking about video a minute ago. I think, you know, again, even just photos. I mean, the thing is, every rescue group, every person doing something to better the lives of animals has stories to tell. We've all got them. We've all, you know, found a dog on the side of the street and they had a crazy story about how you rescued it and all those things, but now you need to get it adopted. So, you know, the tools available, a video camera used to be very, very expensive. Now for less than $100, you can get, you know, what's really like an iPod of video cameras. It's got two buttons, a power button and a record button. You know, these things are not hard to use anymore. They're not, you know, the barrier to entry, the cost, all those things. It's just not what it used to be. And with those sort of the rich media that you can really tell those stories with. I mean, you talk about blogs, just a great photo of that animal, and maybe even just a cute video, you know, might just capture the heart of someone watching that. So they don't actually have to come to your adoption event or come to the facility and actually see that animal anymore, because, you know, a lot of people aren't going to do that, but a lot of people might just be surfing and come across your blog or, you know, take a chance and fan you up on Facebook and see that video.
And for people who aren't using Twitter and Facebook and blogs, they do need to know that it's very easy to upload still photographs and videos. Piece of cake.
Absolutely.
Man, and you are now sharing that with everyone who's following you.
Yeah, and the thing is, there's so many. I mean, I think one of the things that can be a little bit challenging for some people is there are just so many sites now. I mean, You know, if I say a photo site, you know, and I say name a photo site, a lot of people would say Flickr, and that is a
right.
very well-known photo site and a great photo site to use. But there are literally hundreds, if not thousands, of other photo sites. So I think sometimes maybe people get overwhelmed and say, where do I start? But again, you know, the internet is such a great resource today. I mean, as I said, I'm basically self-taught within social media. I don't claim to have any, like, superior knowledge that no one else has because I just stole it from other people. But it's not stealing because it's sort of an open source world. So, you know, people who care about nonprofits succeeding and maybe they have had a life in the technology sector, you know, now devote themselves just through their own blog about helping nonprofits use technology. So, you know, if you have maybe a question about maybe which photo site to use, Google it. Google, you know, photo site, nonprofit, and you'll start to find these blog posts where people are making suggestions, and you've got comments on that blog where other nonprofit people are saying, well, I use this site, but I didn't really like it, and then they went to a pay model, so now we started using this one, and this one's been really great, and the support is really great. So, you know, you've got to really lean on the knowledge of all those people out there because they're giving it to you for free, so why wouldn't you?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yep, exactly. And that's, I mean, that's the one of the amazing things that, you know, between Animal Rescue today and Animal Rescue, you know, a decade ago is so much different. And I think that some of the smaller groups are having trouble catching up. And that catch up is going to happen once they embrace some of that technology, that free stuff that's out there.
Yeah, I think so. Having done some work in campaigns, having volunteered, obviously, before I worked for Best Friends and still volunteering today with smaller groups, you hear the same things. We just don't have the time. We don't have the resources. But, you know, again, all these things are sort of a means to an end. I mean, you may feel like you don't have time for Facebook, but do you have time to raise money? Do you have time to raise awareness? Do you have time to tell people about your animals? You know, it's sort of like you've got to find the time. I mean, I don't know how else to say it, and it sounds sort of harsh because, you know, the last thing that I want to do is tell a small nonprofit, you know, you need to stop doing the work you're doing on the ground. I mean, I don't want that to come across either. But, you know, again, that's why engaging supporters, it doesn't have to be all about, you know, you, the one person, taking all those things on. One of the things I talk about a lot in presentations is the loss of control. Because when I say, well, have a volunteer do it, they say, well, I don't know that I trust any volunteers to, you know, represent our group online. I promise you, for most groups, it's already happening. You know, just like it was for Best Friends. Whether we were there or not, people were out there saying, I'm a supporter of Best Friends, and you should be too. And quite frankly, in some cases, some of those supporters weren't so clear that they were just supporters of Best Friends. You know, some of them looked as if they were official profiles. So, you know, that loss of control is already there, so why not be there? Or, again, just engage those people that are already out there on your behalf and say, hey, I'm so glad you're doing this. You know, can we provide you with content? Like, I'm going to have some photos and some information about some of our adoptable animals. Can you work that into the profile and let those fans know about those things? So, again, it just you've got to do it. And I know that I'm a pretty good evangelist for social media, and obviously it's what I do, and I'm a big believer in it. But I really don't think that it's just because I'm biased. I think it really is any more today. It just is such a vital part of any nonprofit strategy, and even you'll see for-profits out there doing really great work in social media.
Yeah, it's key. It's key for any type of business.
It's where people are looking for you.
Yeah.
They truly are. Yeah. Good stuff.
Well, good. Well, John, we appreciate you taking time with us today. Let's go ahead and plug the website one more time so folks will hear it again, get it embedded in their mind, and start helping out.
Sure thing. It's Network. If you want to do the Network Charities Program, if you're a rescue group or you know a rescue group that may benefit, network.bestfriends.org. Of course, our main website then is just bestfriends.org. If you want to follow me on Twitter, I am John, J-O-N, underscore Dunn, D-U-N-N. And then if you want to friend me up on Facebook, I'm always happy to do that. Happy to answer questions. If nonprofits or rescue groups or individuals have questions about social media, I'm more than happy to do that. I'm available on Facebook at facebook.com/John Dunn.
Excellent.
Well, John, thank you so much for being with us today. And what we want our listeners to do is please consider Best Friends Always as someone to look at, follow, and donate to. They're a great group.
I think that's it, Dee.
All right. We're out of here.
See ya.